And if I go away, I will send you another comforter, another helper, and he will be with you from now on. He says, I must go away. This is the way it's intended to be, but when I do, I'm going to send you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. How many of you know that you can't go by your conscience? Because some people don't have a conscience. You've got to have a helper, and that helper is the Holy Spirit. When you get to a place, and I'm sure most of you, probably all of you have been in the same place I've been in, that someone has asked you to pray about something, and you really didn't know how to pray. How many have ever been there? We've all been there. Come on, work with me here just a minute. I'm not going to be long. Hey, look, when someone asks you to pray, and you don't know how to pray, that's when you need to pray in the Holy Spirit. That's when you need to allow the Spirit to pray for you. See, he is your helper. He is the one that is going to go before the Lord with you and for you, and you're going to be able to use him. So now we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks to the church today. But we're going to be talking to this morning about when the Father passed the baton to the Son. He did not send him on a mission. He commissioned him. He was commissioned to do this. He was commissioned before the world began. See, John was baptizing in the Jordan River in a place called Yarden, Yardin, and Yarden. And as he was baptizing in the river, then Jesus came down to be baptized. But now John was baptizing for the remittance of sin. In other words, you were baptized to get rid of your sin. You came under a new covering, a righteous covering. And so he's out and he's baptizing. And here comes Jesus, the sinless one on earth. Here comes Jesus to be baptized. Hey, listen, you gotta recognize the fact that had to blow John's mind away because he knew who he was. You know, people thought that John was the Messiah. And remember when they asked John, are you the one that we should be looking for to come? He said, I am not. But there comes one after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlace. There's one coming that's going to be able to do more. I'm just going to be able to do what I've always done, but there's one that's going to come, and I'm baptizing you for the remission of sin, repentance. But there's one coming that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know what I really believe? I believe that we've come to a place in the church world today that we've forgotten that God has anointed us with the Holy Ghost and fire. We want to do church stuff, and we want to do religious stuff, and we want to do all of these things, but God is looking for a person and for a people and for a church and for a congregation that is willing to let every bit of that go and just get on fire with the Holy Ghost of God and allow him to be able to operate through us. That's when you and I can take authority over those things that are coming against us, rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, and know that God is with us and we shall overcome. Look at somebody and say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You just don't know it, but you're going to make it. You're going to be just fine when this thing's all over with. I want you to know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. You may have all hell fighting against you while you're here. But once you leave here, you're going to be the overcomer that God has called you to be. So John's out baptizing. Here comes Jesus, and he wanted to be baptized of John, and John tried to deter him. He said, look, I need to be baptized. You, why are you coming to me? I love this. How many of your versions say deter God? He was trying to deter him. How do you deter God? How do you deter God? Well, listen, God's will is going to be done. And if you don't do it, he's going to get someone that will do it. Oh, listen, we got to understand that this thing is not about us. It's all about Him. This thing is not about what you do today or what you do tomorrow. This thing is about what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And we don't need to worry about the things that the world considers important. We need to recognize the fact that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's not by our own works or our own righteousness, but it's by the blood of Jesus that you and I have victory in this world. How do you deter God? You can't deter God. John was here. He was preaching a message. Listen, when you read when John or Jesus or any of those, or Paul, when they were preaching, listen, they really did. It didn't bother them who they were preaching to. They had the same message. It didn't matter if they were preaching to rich people, poor people, young people, old people, little people, big people, white people, black people, yellow people, it did not matter. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same everywhere you go and every time you speak it. And these guys did not have a problem. It could have been people of authority, but it didn't bother John. It didn't bother. I love this. John's preaching to them. He's out preaching to them. And he's preaching to them about producing fruit. He's preaching about producing fruit. And you know what he calls them? He calls them a brood of vipers. You know why? Because that's what they were. They were acting like a brood of vipers. And he called them a brood of vipers. Listen, it didn't bother him. Let me tell you, you cannot water down the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the gospel is the gospel, and regardless of what you and I feel about how it's presented, it's still the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's preaching to them. He's calling them a brood of vipers, and he's talking to them about bearing fruit. He said, look, just because you're from the seed of Abraham doesn't mean you're exempt. We got a lot of people think just because of who they are, they're exempt from a lot of things. I know people that think they're exempt from the law. I think that we need to first recognize that the gospel is the gospel. And we're not exempt. We've got a certain thing that we have to do. And we, in the church, sometimes we make it so hard to be Christians. And when we need to recognize the fact that all we have to do is confess our sins, say I'm guilty, and plead for mercy. Just plead for mercy. Say, Lord, you know, I'm guilty. And I have no excuse and I have no reason except I'm guilty. And I want you to forgive me. That's all you got to do this morning. That's all that you ever have to do to accept Jesus Christ. It's not a difficult thing. God didn't give us a difficult way to get to heaven. It's an easy road map. All we've got to do is just get in the book and just recognize the fact that you and I are sinners saved by grace. And we need to realize that just because we're sinners doesn't mean that we're not worthy to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, we need to realize God has a call on every one of us. But you can't get to that place you think too highly of yourself. He says, don't think that because you're the seed of Abraham that you're exempt. God is able to raise up children out of these stones. God is able to raise up children out of these stones. I love this. How many of you remember the last trip that Jesus made into Jerusalem? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him and said his disciples were singing to him and they were praising him and doing hallelujahs and all of this stuff. And he said, look, you've got to get those people to be quiet. You cannot let those people show their emotions of how they love you. You can't regulate that. He said, listen, if I tell these people to be quiet, those stones in that mountain, God will raise up. Going right back to what John taught, those stones will start singing praises to me. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know, you may have been in the church a week or 10 weeks or 3 years or 60 years. It doesn't matter. But how many of you come to the place in life that you've learned that God is going to have somebody to praise Him? God is going to raise up. I believe there's a remnant sitting out there that God is going to raise up to praise Him. And regardless of the circumstances or the situations or where they are or where they're not, God is going to give us a praise. How many of you have ever done this? When you're going through stuff, it's kind of hard to praise Him. Oh, come on. Y'all act like y'all like me. Y'all are sinners saved by grace. And we've been in that place, and when things aren't going well, it's just hard to praise Him for it. And we forget that Paul tells us to give thanks in all things. And everything rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But when you're going through stuff, you don't want to hear what Paul has to say. You know, it's hard to muster up a worship every now and then. Come on. Come on. I mean, really. Listen, it's hard sometimes when you're going through. Everything's going through. When all the bills are paid, and you got a little jingle in your jean, you know, and you feel good, you have no aches and pains, and by the way, when you get my age, that never happens. But when everything is going good, oh man, you're running around about 3 feet off the ground with your hands up, hollering, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Lord, you're the best thing ever happened to me. What it is you've emotionally forgot about what happened yesterday. But when you can raise up a praise, when you can raise up a praise when everything's falling apart and you don't have any money and the bills are not paid and you don't feel good in your body and your spirit is low, but you can lift your hands up and say, God, I don't understand why, but I know that this thing shall soon come to pass. By the way, that's one of my favorite little passages in the Bible. This too shall come to pass. Man, I'm telling you, I've used that so many times. When I'm facing difficult situations, I go right back to the Bible and I find, this too shall come to pass. Man, I'm telling you, something revs up my spirit. I want to tell the devil to bring it on. Oh, bring it on. I'll show you. I've got a God that's able to overcome everything. As a matter of fact, I just grab a water pistol and start swinging through hell. Bring it on, devil. Come on, church. I'm talking to you. Listen, you need to realize this too shall come to pass. I don't care what you're going through. This too shall come to pass. I remember years ago, I was pastoring this guy, and he went on to be, well, he was the principal of the high school, and he was a part of my congregation. He was in the hospital, and I didn't even know he was in the hospital. When I heard about it, I went to visit with him. He's laying up in the hospital bed, and he's got on a baseball cap to shield his eyes where he can read. And when I walked in, the first thing he said to me, he said, "Preacher," that's what he always called. "Preacher, have you been praying for me?" Well, you know, there's sometimes you just got to be honest. I said, "No." I didn't even know you were sick. He said, "Well, thank God." He said, "Because I was going to tell you, if you were praying, quit. You about to kill me." Listen, we got to realize that this too shall come to pass. Look at somebody and say, it's going to come to pass. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're having to face. I don't know what the enemy is coming against you with. I don't even know what you've been through. But I know what my Lord went through, and I know that this too shall come to pass. This too shall come to pass. Does that mean everybody's going to be healed? Yeah. You're going to be healed. You're not going to take anything into heaven with you. God's not going to allow the devil to taint heaven. He's not going to allow him to let sickness go into heaven, injury go into heaven. Oh, let me tell you something. You may be sick today, and you may go out of this world where you think you're sick, but the moment you leave here, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when you leave this body, you will be healed. Look at somebody and say, this too shall come to pass. This too shall come to pass. Wow. See, when you get to where you think highly of yourself, you won't bear any fruit. You won't bear fruit. You know, he must increase. We must decrease. John's talking about his role in the gospel, in presenting the gospel. Listen, this is not about you. It's all about Jesus. You're going to have to reflect Jesus. You can't shine like Jesus. Only Jesus can shine. Jesus is the Son. The Bible tells us in heaven, the Father and the Son are the light. That's all the light that there needs to be. And so the light has got to be the one that shines. And Jesus is the light of the world. He shines. Now you and I are a bunch of little moons because we reflect. All the moon does is reflect. So we're a bunch of moons, and we ought to be reflecting Jesus. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes when I'm going through stuff, I reflect me and not Jesus. Come on, work with me. Sometimes when I'm going through stuff, I reflect more of me than I do of Jesus. Let me show you something. How many of you ever been down Tennessee or on Tennessee Street? And you got somewhere you got to be. You know there's a speed limit. And all of a sudden there's this idiot that wants to follow the law. What is he thinking? Who drives the speed limit? You start blowing your horn and giving him the finger. You're laying on that horn. Listen, let me tell you what happened to me. I used to have a tag on my truck, and my tag was Preach One. Had it for years and years and years. It's on my boat trailer now, but Preach One. And one day, I'm blowing that horn. I'm telling this guy exactly what my feelings are. And it dawned on me, hey, you got Preach One on the back of this. Either change the attitude or get rid of the tag. Tag's gone. Tag's gone. Come on. Sometimes we reflect more of us than we do of Jesus. Come on, say amen with me, church. Look at somebody and say, he knows me. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. Everyone. John was talking about his role in propagating and presenting the gospel. Everyone has a role in presenting the gospel. You do. I do. We all have a role in presenting the gospel. But if we get to thinking too highly of ourselves, I want you to watch this. God has a drunk laying out there under I-10 that can preach circles around me. God has a crackhead that can out-sing you. God has someone that can outplay you. We got to recognize the fact that if God can raise up a stone, God can raise up a drunk. If God can raise up a stone, God can raise up a crackhead. If God can raise up a stone, he can do anything he wants. Don't get to thinking too highly of yourself. See, one of the things, how many of you know that everybody don't love you? Sometimes Everybody loves me. I'm such a nice person. Everybody loves me. Everybody don't love you. Don't even go there. Everybody does not love you. Everybody, I don't know what you are thinking, but you need to recognize the fact that when you make mistakes, God's the only one that's going to forget it. That's the reason I always tell people, look, be careful who you confess your shortcomings to. Because everybody's not God. You got to be careful who you confess what to, because a lot of people will allow that to affect your role in presenting the gospel. You got to keep yourself in such a way that you can always present the gospel. You're called to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you got to always keep yourself that way. Listen, when you're bearing fruit, no matter what the devil says or who he says it through, your fruit will outshine a lie. Watch this. I don't know what's going to happen when we pass on. I have ideas, and I've studied it a tremendous amount. When you get my age, it becomes a little bit more important. What's going to happen? You know, when we leave this earth, what's going to happen to it? And we know that when we leave here, how many of you know that when you leave this earth, you're not going to heaven, even if you are saved? When you leave this earth, you're going to paradise. You're going to paradise. And see, paradise is a part of Hades. Some people call it Hades. See, I always thought Hades was hell. How many of you the same way? It's not. Hades, H-A-D-E-S. Hades means a holding place for the dead. Everybody's going to Hades. Hades is split up into two areas. One area is called paradise, and the other area is called torment. Those that are saved are going to paradise. Those that are not saved, they're going to torment. Watch this, I'm going to prove it. Can I prove it to you in Scripture? You remember Jesus hanging on the cross? Remember between two malefactors? And one of them said, if you're really God, then save yourself and save me too. The other one said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what Jesus said to him? Today, you'll be with me where? In paradise. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. We're going to all go into heaven at the same time, on that great and notable day of the Lord. Are y'all there with me? I've lost you, haven't I? I haven't? Good. All right. So now watch this. We gotta realize that our works is going to outshine our mistakes. I'm telling you, our fruit is going to outshine. Listen, have you ever noticed that sometimes Jesus shows up when you don't want? Gonna work with me. Yeah, he shows up just when you don't want him to show up. As a matter of fact, he even shows up when you least expect him to show up. And he sends his Holy Spirit to talk to you when you don't want to talk to him. Listen, I know you guys are. I always said this in my former life in my church. I'd always say something like this. I know some of you are so anointed that you glow in the dark when you sleep. And some of you think that you can walk on water. And some of you have walked on water. And I understand that, but it was frozen water. All right, now what's this? What's this? Sometimes we need to recognize the fact that even though you and I make our mistakes, it's not us that lives, but it's Christ who lives through us. So we have this thing coming down that Jesus begins to show out the time that we need him the most. I've learned this. When the Lord, how many of you had the Lord speak to your spirit? Now, I'm not saying you've heard him audibly. Some people say they haven't. That's fine. I'm talking about he spoke to your spirit and you knew the Lord was talking to you. You know what I found out? Every time the Lord talks to me, he never wants to talk about what I want to talk about. You know, I'm wanting to talk about John. He said, I ain't worried about John. I want to talk about you. I want to talk about what so-and-so did. I'm not worried about what I want to talk about what you did. Hey, wait a minute. Listen, I don't think you're there with me. When you begin to have a conversation with the Lord, don't get your feelings hurt if he calls you a brood of vipers. Because he's going to call you what he sees in you. Lord, cleanse me. Take the coal. Touch my lips. Change me. Change me. Allow me to be something I've never been before. And allow me to do more than I've ever done before. Listen, John's trying to preach the hell out of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Just trying to preach hell out of them. You know what I've learned? You can't preach hell out of anybody. You can't sing hell out of anybody. You can't beg hell out of anybody. But you can pray the hell out of them. Prayer is the most powerful tool that you have. I'm telling you, I used to have people say, you know, they come to me and say, Pastor, I didn't like the way you had. Well, that's fine. Talk to the Lord about it. Just talk to Jesus. Listen, he's the only one that when he speaks is going to stop me in my tracks. But when he speaks, I stop because I want to hear. I want to know what he's going to say to me. Listen, how many of you have been right in the middle of honestly expressing yourself to someone? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up. That's nice. Love to hear you talk about your brother that way. Your sister that way. That's wonderful. Listen, John's baptizing. Jesus come to be baptized, and the enemy had him convinced he wasn't worthy. How many of you know the enemy's job is to make you convinced that you're not worthy? And in the natural, in his thinking, you really are not. But by the way God has presented the gospel through Jesus Christ, we all have become worthy. We all have become worthy. I love this. I love the fact that when we ask God to forgive us of our sins, he immediately forgives us of our sins. Right then. Stand up with me. I got to get out of here. Listen. The Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul wrote and he said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before time began. Listen, you've got a call on your life, and it just didn't get there. The problem is, you don't know it. I want to teach you something. There was a farmer that lived in Texas. I mean, he earned and worked out and plowed out a living, sent 4 kids through college, almost worked himself to death. Kids got out of school. They got good jobs. They're gainfully employed. The farmhouse looks as good as it ever did, but it's still just a farmhouse. One day, this guy comes by and said, look, we've learned that there's oil on your property. Do you mind if we drill on it? And they drilled on that oil, on that land, and the richest vein in the state of Texas came out of that little farm. That little 1,200-acre farm. Just that, the richest vein of oil. And he became very rich. I'm not talking a little rich. I'm talking he became very rich. Somebody say very. All right, you know what that means. Very rich. So a few months later, someone met him on the street and said, "Hey, man, how does it feel to be rich?" He said, "The same." He said, "I've always been rich. I just didn't know it. The oil was there. The whole time that I was plowing that ground and the whole time I was working to send those kids through school, I was a rich man. I just didn't know it." Let me tell you something. You don't know what God has given you, or you would be acting differently. I'm preaching now. I'm preaching now. Let me tell you something. You've got more than you ever thought you had. And it's always been there. Paul said it was there from the beginning of time. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to begin to operate in the power that God has called me. I'm ready to propagate a new gospel, a gospel that says I don't care what's going on around me, it's what's going on in me that's going to give me the victory. I don't care what everybody is saying, I'm concerned about what I'm saying, and that is what's going to give me the victory. Let's give Jesus Christ a hand clap praise. He's a great God. He's a great God. Last little I want to give you. Watch this. Give me your attention just a minute. The Bible tells us that Jesus was baptized. Now, let me tell you something. John was not a Southern Baptist. John was the baptizer. He was John the baptizer. And he didn't lower people down in the water and raise them up. He had nothing to do with it. The Jews thought that and felt like and still do that baptism is between a person and God. Man has nothing to do with it. So John could have been standing on the bank, far as I know. Or he could have been in the water. I don't know that either. But I do know that he did not assist in the baptism. The people went. They knelt down. Water came over their head. And then they lifted themselves up. Now watch this. The Bible tells us that when he was baptized, he came up from the water, and immediately the heavens were open, and they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. Now watch this. When he came up out of the water, there was a supernatural thing happened. Number one, the water closed behind him, and heaven opened before him. Y'all got to get there with me now. Sometimes you got to close some things before God can open some things. Sometimes you got to let God close some things behind you before he can open some things before you. I believe that there's people in this building this morning that needs closure. They need closure behind them. And if you will allow God to close those things, he will open something before you. He'll never close a door before he can open a door. Listen, you gotta see, you might need some closure in your life. If you're still holding on to the world a little bit, or possibly even if you've let hurt and anger, you've not let it go. Maybe you just need closure. Maybe you've been praying for something that hasn't happened. Maybe you're waiting for God to open a door and he's waiting for you to close the door. You need closure this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just for a moment. Oh, Father God, you know the heart of every person in this building. You know their heart and you know those that need closure so that you can open.